Unit 13 in Build with Living Stones is entitled Brother Sun and Sister Moon, A Franciscan View of Creation. In Section B, we read, All of creation, with its rich diversity, reveals the triune God. However, we do not stand apart from creation. Rather, we are part of it. We are God's creation along with wolves and lambs, stones and flowers, sky and stars. Together we form God's body. As I read through this chapter, I was reminded of a sister named Sister Suzanne, who was part of a Bible study that I was also in when I was a student at St. Bonaventure University. And she told us a story about a time when she was young and she was in a classroom. And her teacher, anytime there was a bug in the classroom or a spider, a beetle, a bee, her teacher would capture the critter, ask one of the students to open the window, and she would set the creature free. This is something that Sister Suzanne remembered very vividly and shared it with us. And I thought about that as I read through this chapter on a Franciscan view of creation. And I thought about the impact that each of us has on our fellow creatures. Negative or positive, we each impact each other. So how can I be noticing and aware of my impact on the creation around me? The impact that this teacher had on Sister Suzanne was profound enough that probably 40, 50 years later, she shared that story. The impact on that spider or the bee or the beetle was probably also pretty profound in the moment. Imagine entering into a place where everything around you is gigantic, and you're not quite sure if you belong there. And you are scooped up, and you are set free. And you enter back into the world that perhaps is a little bit more familiar to you. And I've been asking myself this question, isn't that what the Creator does with each of us? Anytime I have found myself in a place or a situation or a relationship that is not quite right, the Creator has seen fit. Sometimes after a long while, sometimes pretty quickly, to sort of scoop me up and send me in a different direction to set me free, put me back on the path. And I think about the goodness of creation and the creativity of the Creator to be able to be represented by so many creatures, by so many wonders, by things large and small, by things that move and things that groan and things that grow
And each one represents its creator. On page 170, we read, trees, worms, flowers by the side of the road, all were for Francis, saints gazing up into the face of God. Creation became the place to find God, and in finding God, Francis realized his intimate relationship to all of creation. Scripture tells us, God hates nothing God has created. And so if I believe that I am a creation of God, I know that I have value and worth simply because I exist, because I was created. So the reflection question for me then becomes, how do I live my life in harmony as best as I can with nature, with creation, because I am a part of it. I am not separate from it. I am part of it. I am in it. I am of it. I will one day return to it. How do I live my life in harmony with that relationship so that I am able to reflect a place to find God? Am I able to reflect the Creator? And what does that reflection of the Creator look like? If I have value simply because I exist, and simply because I reveal my Creator to others, then that means that a slimy worm or a creeping spider or a giant whale does the same. And therefore, if all of us reflect our Creator, and our Creator is the same, we are all connected. And if we are all connected, we all need each other. On page 171, we see that the authors bring about some considerations. And the first one is, we must realize our interconnectedness to creation. Part of our poverty is to realize our dependency on the things of the created world. A new consciousness must call us to an active stance as brother and sister to non-human creation. My grade school principal loved the story of the starfish. There was a great storm, and the day after the storm, there was a man walking along the beach. And he saw all these shells and rocks and seaweed and all kinds of things from the ocean that were now on the beach. And in the distance, he saw a man. And this other man was picking up something and throwing it into the sea. He'd walk a few steps, pick up something, throw it into the sea. And as he got closer, he realized that man was picking up starfish and returning them to the sea. And he said, this beach is littered with all kinds of things from the ocean. You can't possibly save everything. And the man picked up a starfish and threw it into the sea. And he said, I saved that one. And the other man says, well, it can't possibly matter. You can't possibly make a difference. And the other man picked up another starfish, threw it into the sea, and said, it made a difference to that one. And so I think of Sister Suzanne and her teacher who saved spiders by putting them out the window. Perhaps that was not impactful in a large way, on a large scale, but it was impactful to that spider. But it was also impactful enough to Sister Suzanne that she remembered it, recalled it, and reshared it. And it was impactful enough to me that I also remember it to this day. And so we see here at the end of the unit, before the questions, Elizabeth Johnson writes, our response to nature can take at least three forms. The contemplative response that gazes on the world with eyes of love, rather than with an arrogant utilitarian stare, the ascetic response that practices discipline in using the things of the earth, and the prophetic response that moves us to action on behalf of justice for the earth. We hear a lot these days about reducing waste, recycling, repurposing, fast fashion, the dangers of fast fashion. And I think each of us has choices that we get to make in our lives. And so how are those choices informing the ways that I myself interact with nature? How are those choices informing my response to nature? Can I see the world and everything in it, even the creepy crawlies, with eyes of love? Can I see the world and everything in it, the water, the air, the soil, with eyes of love, rather than a utilitarian stare? Can I practice discipline and discernment when I make choices about the things that I purchase, the way that I use or reuse items, how I choose to dispose of the waste that gets created? And is there anything that calls me to action on behalf of the earth? What moves me to movement? What moves me to action? What drives me forward in thinking about justice for the earth? I want the earth to be here in all of its beauty and glory and splendor for future generations. How can I ensure that happens, even in my own small ways? It may not have a massive monumental impact, but it might impact something else or someone else. And that someone else may impact someone else. The smallest stones can cast the most ripples sometimes. How can I ensure that what I'm putting into the water is making a difference?